Amazing grace. We use grace so loosely sometimes that we take the amazing away from it. It's amazing because of who's giving it. The creator of the universe who sent his son to die for us and rose to life so that we could have life. It's amazing because it's for all of us, even those who've rejected him. It's amazing because it goes on and on and on. It's amazing because it is not just grace, it is love and grace. And I don't know what you picture when you picture Christ. I don't know what you picture when you picture God, the Heavenly Father, creator of the universe. But what you need to picture is what we just sang, that there's love in his eyes as he looks at you. That there is something about that relationship and how much he loves you. Can you remember when you fell in love? Can you remember when your kids fell in love? I remember each one of our kids when they began to tell us about the one who eventually became their spouse. And there was just something different, the way they talked. And the first time I saw them together, yeah, there was a part of me going, get away from my kid. Except when I saw how my kid looked at them. I went, this is different. That's how Jesus looks at you. With that same desire, only multiplied. With that same love, only totally unconditional. With that grace that is so amazing. So amazing that 12 ordinary, regular people began to follow him. Jesus walked around and he said, follow me. And there eventually were 12 who said, okay. Some of them were business owners, small business. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were workers. One was even a tax collector. Imagine the IRS agent following. And those 12 ordinary, and I know they were ordinary because scripture tells us that in Acts, they were observing those who were following Christ and they said, we noted that these are just ordinary, uneducated people who were following an extraordinary God who did amazing things because of his amazing grace. And when they said yes to follow him, their lives changed forever. And when they continued to follow him and do what he said, it changed the lives of their family. And when they kept doing that, it even changed their neighborhood and community and eventually the world. Those 12, 11 of them stuck with it. Those 12 had no idea that what they had said yes to would change history. Just like you have no idea what God wants to do through you. If you answer his call when he says, follow me. That's why discipleship matters. That's why we're talking about this for a few weeks. That's why we're launching some new programs, not the right word, a new lifeblood in the church. Because following him is a really, really big deal. We've looked at what discipleship is. We looked at why it matters, and today we're going to begin to examine some of the how and some things that we need to have included in discipleship. Dave Buring, in his book, The Great Opportunity, said, disciple-making was and remains Jesus' original plan to change the world. Now, we've looked at a couple of these scriptures before, but I want to come back to them in the Gospel of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 16, 24 is in there about taking up your cross, denying yourself, and following Christ. But let me read for you again from Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, that's Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And then in Matthew 28, we read what we call the Great Commission, verses 18 to 20 of Matthew 28. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And I love the amplified version of those verses. It says, "Jesus came up and said to them, 'All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age." And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul, one who had persecuted believers because he believed Christ was not really the Messiah and had had believers killed and jailed, he became a follower of Christ. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That's a picture of discipleship. Following Christ and asking others to come along with us on that journey. You see, Jesus said, "Follow me." And then we're to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." But for all of this to happen, we must listen. For all of this to happen, we must listen. Just in case you didn't hear it the first two times. For any of this to happen, we must listen. Listening is a choice. It's also a skill. Some have learned it. Some, it appears, have not. Ask any parent or school teacher. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, they all began to follow Jesus because they listened to his call. They left what they were doing. Jose Ortega says, "Tell me to whom you pay attention, and I will tell you who you are." Tell me who you pay attention to, and I'll tell you who you are. And Mark Batterson, in his book Whisper, said, "If you are not willing to listen to everything God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say." A major part of following Christ, a major part of discipleship, is listening and hearing. Question is, are you listening to Jesus' call and his command to follow him? Are you listening to his call and his command to make disciples? I said this last week. Painters paint, singers sing, disciples disciple. It's what we should do because we claim to be followers of Christ. We should be bringing others alongside us. I love this because Jesus said, we listen and then we do what he said. Jesus says something and then we listen and then do what he said. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28 there, it starts in verse 18 with Jesus said. And then we look at the rest of the New Testament and it's the disciples doing what Jesus said. You've heard me say it before, but let me say it again. I am so impressed whenever I read in Scripture where someone hears, whether they hear from God or from a teacher teaching for God, and then the next thing says, and then they began to obey. The Christmas story, Mary heard and went, how could this be? And she said, but not my will, but yours be done. And she did what she was told. Matthew, his fiance, he's never been with, is pregnant, and she says this is from God, but he's going to divorce her until God speaks to him. And it says when he woke up from that vision, he did what he was told. Wouldn't it be awesome if at the end of our lives, the epitaph, the phrase used for us was, he or she did what Jesus said. And I want mine to be, Dennis followed Jesus. No greater testimony than that. That's what this is all about. We need to listen so that we can hear, and we need to do what we hear. So let me ask you, can you hear what Jesus is saying to you? First of all, he's saying he loves you. Are you hearing that? He also says, I've forgiven you. Are you listening? He also says, I have a plan for you. Are you working that plan? He wants you to follow him. Did you hear him? Now we have to acknowledge that sometimes the hurt or the past in someone's life is so loud that that person cannot hear the healing Jesus is giving. Sometimes the hurt in the past is so loud in their heart and mind, they can't hear what Jesus is giving. We need to help them quiet the noise of the hurt, not dismiss it, not try to explain it away, but help them to quiet the noise of the hurt, the noise of their past, so that they can hear the healing God has for them. And some of you here this morning and some of you listening online need to hear that. That God loves you. That Christ has given his life for you. That his amazing grace applies to you. You need to hear the healing that God has for you. Then you can hear the call. Then you can become a disciple following Christ. Peter wasn't perfect when he left his nets and followed Jesus. James and John and Andrew didn't have it all together when they walked away from what they used to do. Matthew didn't have it together when he left the tax booth to follow Jesus. But they followed and became a disciple. You need to realize some things. Number one, you have the authority to be a disciple and to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, he said, I've got the authority. Now here's what I want you to do, and you do this in my authority. Here's the beauty. If you got self-doubts, it's not you, it's him that's doing this. You go, I don't know how to do this. That's okay, he does. We're following him. We're his apprentice. He's guiding us. We're learning. We just keep following. All authority has been given to you from what Jesus has taught us. We follow that, and we follow it in the authority of Christ. Secondly, you need to realize that we are to do this, the following and the teaching and the bringing people along, we're to do it wherever we go. We miss this sometimes in the scripture. Verse 19, it says, go therefore and make disciples. And we have mistranslated or misheard it or misapplied it too many times to think that it means I can only do it if I go somewhere else. No. The best and most literal translation, as I understand it, would say, as you go, make disciples. As you go, show and teach. Meaning, wherever you go, across the room, across the street, across town, to work, to school, to the store, even online, as you go, we're to follow. As we go, we're to be the disciples. As we go, we're to invite and bring others with us. Because verse 19 says to lead them to Christ. It says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing, that's the conversion. Showing people and then leading them to Christ. By our example, our story, our testimony, as well as sometimes by our teaching. Your greatest testimony is not the words you say, but the life you live. And then we're to teach them about Christ. When we get attention, when we earn a hearing with someone, we teach them about Christ. Again, by how we live, more than by what we say. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded in you. Now that means we need to know what he's commanded. We need to know his word. We need to learn what it says and how that applies. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's teaching people about Christ. I've shared before in coaching all kinds of different sports, and when I got into coaching volleyball, it was very, very accidental. The town we were in, the volleyball coach was attending our church, and I was also getting ready to do her wedding. And in the conversation, she was talking about the season coming up, and I said, you know, my girls played, my son played. You know, if you ever need help in practice or something, somebody to toss balls or, you know, hit them at the girls or whatever, I said, I could help once in a while. She came back the next week and said, by the way, I don't have a JV volleyball coach. I recommended you take it. I said, that isn't what I offered. She said, don't worry, I'll teach and show you. I worried, but I did it. What the girls didn't realize, on especially the first 3 days of practice, as all the basics were being taught by her up front, I was behind them, imitating everything, trying to figure it out because I had never done it. I thought about that this week, partially because I missed doing it, but also because I went, she was discipling me in volleyball, but only because I was paying attention, watching and listening. We've been called to help people follow Christ. Now, that means we need to be following him and following him in such a way that if they're standing back behind trying to figure it out, they can figure it out from watching us. Not perfectly, but passionately. Not with everything all together, but with a firm desire to follow him. And see, we've also been called, according to Scripture, to show them the way of obedience. Jesus said, teach them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. To obey. If I'm going to have others obey Christ and I've asked them to follow me, I need to be obedient to what Christ is calling me to. And we need to keep saying over and over, from 1 Samuel 3:9, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, or as the ESV translated, your servant hears. We need to be listening. We need to know what it is to be a disciple, learning ourselves so that we can show others. And let me just give you a quick list of some things that we need to know as disciples. Number one, we need to know how to trust God and His Word. There's an awful lot of stuff in our world today that has people not trusting much of anything. You understand that, right? Every time I get a phone call from a number I don't know, I don't trust that number because I've had too many of those calls that weren't trustworthy. Same thing with emails. Oh, open this and you are going to change your life. Sometimes it meant I had to change my computer afterwards. We need to learn and teach how to trust God and His Word. It's part of what we'll be doing. Also, we need to know and learn the freedom we have in Christ. Not freedom to do whatever we want, but the freedom we have in Christ and through Christ. We need to learn about prayer, how to pray, and learn about the power of prayer. Not because of our words, but because of who we pray to. We need to learn the priorities of Christ, because part of our definition of discipleship is teaching and helping people to learn and live the character, the characteristics of Christ. That means knowing what matters to Him, what values, what are the priorities of Christ. We need to help people learn how to read the Bible, how to study the Bible, how to apply the Bible. I bet there's no month that goes by that I don't hear two or three times at least from somebody who says, I'd read it more, but I don't seem to understand what I'm reading. There are some ways that we can help people do that, as well as some wonderful tools that are available to help us to know how to read it, how to study it, and especially how to apply it. We need to learn the importance and the value of fellowship with other believers. That doesn't just mean eating, though I think it's a great way to fellowship, obviously. But to truly fellowship, share together, the importance of it. We need to show how to share our faith story, a testimony, if you will, just to be able to tell people, here's how I got where I am. How to discern and to do God's will. There's a general will for everybody. That's following the Word. And there's a specific will for each person. We need to help people learn how to discern that and then do it. We need to help people learn how to live joyfully in Christ. If you don't enjoy following Christ, you're doing it wrong. We should be the most joyful people this side of heaven. And others ought to notice that. We need to help people learn how to do that. We need to help people learn how to live in God's promises. To live in them, you need to know them. That's why knowing the Word is important. But what are the promises of God, and how can I live on those, stand on those, lean on those? And then we need to help and teach people how to repeat all those things to other people. That's part of the follow me as I follow. That's part of the imitate me as I imitate Him. This stuff matters. I've said it each week, but let me repeat it again. statistically, not just in our country, but around the world, 80% of people who make a decision for Christ will walk away or fade away, usually within the first 3 months. And of those 20% that are left, very few of them ever get discipled. We need to reverse those statistics. And I am convinced that it's possible. I'm convinced because it's what the Word says. I'm convinced because I know who He is and how powerful He is. And we've been seeing evidence of that. We need to trust that in this area of discipleship. So let me ask you some questions. Are you listening and hearing what He's saying? Are you paying attention to it? Are you following Christ and His call to all of us and His call to you individually and specifically? And who are you helping to follow Christ? It doesn't have to be formal, though I think there's a difference when we do that. But just helping people follow by how we're living, what we're saying, and living life with them. Are you listening? And if you are, what are you doing with what you've heard?